The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Isaiah Spillin, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Much to get to today as far as the NFL head coaches and the general managers. I was there with Cody Carpentier, of course. Cody, how are you, bro?
Doing fantastic. Got a good day of, you know, we turned off the prospect mind for the day, and it was focused on fantasy football. Is focused on, you know, I asked some draft questions, some team building questions, and really communicating with these GM and coaches and finding out about where their brains are at. Instead of, you know, where we've been the last couple of weeks, months, talking about prospects. I mean, we're talking fantasy, we're talking NFL, we're talking, you know, bad teams getting better, maybe bad players in better roles.
Yeah. And some of these things we're going to go over. So we'll just go kind of team by team here, and we'll look to give people, maybe set the scene a little bit, Cody. So on this Tuesday at the Combine, what happens is you have all the GMs, all the head coaches come through. Then on Wednesday, when the prospects start to come in, I believe tomorrow the prospects will be defensive line, maybe some linebackers in the afternoon. And in between those guys, all the stragglers who didn't come through today, who were the head coaches and the GMs, they'll have their availabilities tomorrow. But most of it got done today. With Cody, you know what I mean? It's just two of us, right? It's just two sets of eyes, two sets of ears. So sometimes when there's like five coaches up on the podiums, we're having to go from spot to spot. We're having to sort of figure things out. So as we're going through this, I might hear something from Cody, from what one of the coaches told him or what one of the teams told him that I didn't even hear about. And probably the same vice versa with Cody. But some of these things you might have heard, you know, I've looked at, you know, some of the aggregator sites, and, you know, tons of our questions and our content has sort of been picked up by them. And I would say, like, you know, this, it's not our content. The questions here are free to everybody. But a lot of the fantasy related questions were due to your boys here at Roster Watch getting our stuff done. So with that being said, let's just go ahead and dive in. Start, I guess, out with the Packers here with Gutekunst, the GM. Did you just laugh at my pronunciation? What? Gutekunst? I think it's right. What is it?
Gutekunst.
Okay. Well,
you're good. Let's get into it. What did Gutekunst have to say?
I'm Swedish. I should be able to say that correctly. My grandfather's turning over in his grave. Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave is what I wanted to ask about, the two tight ends. And just mainly, you know, from a team building perspective and from the perspective of how we can sort of look at this young group that we've talked about so much, right? It's what we so badly want to invest in fantasy and in dynasty, right? In the whole Jordan Love saga, you know, but just, you know, we like Jordan Love. We like the fact that he has these associated pieces that are really right now on cheap rookie second year kind of deals. And they all are, right? We talked about it coming into this season, how the only pass catcher that Jordan Love had coming into 2023 that was not a first or second year player was Josiah DeGuara. Everybody else was either a rookie or a second year player. A bunch of good young talent there. And when they double tap tight end with Luke Musgrave and with Tucker Kraft, we're like, man, they kind of, it's just sort of like Well, it just felt like it kind of took a piece off the board at tight end because these guys are going to cancel themselves out and all the rest. But then what happened was, through the course of the season, Luke Musgrave comes in. He's a good part of the offense, startable player in fantasy. He gets hurt. Tucker Kraft comes in. I mean, maybe he has more highlight kind of plays with his athleticism. My question was, are these two guys redundant? Like, can they be on the field at the same time? Like, how do you guys view them? And is it going to be something where one of these guys has to come off the football field for the other one to play? And what he said was that, he just basically said that platitudes about tight ends, all the rest of it. I think the most important thing was he said at the end, he said, it's going to be really fun to see those guys on the field at the same time next year.
Yeah.
And so that to me means I'll be curious to ask you, because I immediately went back up to the media room after that and just looked up Jaden Reed, his slot rate last year, because I knew it was sky high, right? Looked it up. He was like fourth in the league as far as that. It's like 76% using the slot. And so are they really going to take their best guy off the field? Because the next question to him was about Christian Watson, and is he the number one wide receiver? And to that, he gave the same answer that some of these other guys gave about number one wide receiver. I don't want to label him like that. I don't want to talk about it like that. I don't want to do any of this stuff. You know that Christian Watson plays outside. You know that Wicks plays outside. You know that Romeo Doubs plays outside. If they're going to be at 12 personnel, what exactly does that mean for Jaden Reed? And to me, I think it's like, man, it feels like a little bit of a bummer that we're going to have such a murky situation with these dudes. The projections are going to be hard preseason.
Well, the thing is he brings up that conversation, two tight ends, whilst what you just brought up about Jaden Reed in the slot, and the growth and maturation that we saw from Dontayvion Wicks towards the end of the season, and the guy you asked, Christian Watson. So that's five dudes.
And not to mention Bo Melton was good.
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's be honest, that conversation right now, like, the conversation is more about like how they're going to, deploy this offense. Are they really going to
look good?
Three wide receivers and two tights at the same time? No, like they just can't.
They can't.
You physically can't. And then you're forgetting Aaron Jones is still on the roster.
If you go empty, you can't.
But exactly, Aaron Jones is still on the roster.
Right.
But then you're not going to do that. So, it will be interesting to kind of look, as we get closer to the season and take this note and carry it into like our projections and visualize what it potentially looks like. If they do run too tight, is it going to be swapping of Wicks and Watson? Is it going to be, Reed comes off the field, there's no slot?
You can't take Reed off the field.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so this can be an interesting thing to follow. It just makes this thing more murky. Like I said, unfortunate for us that want to invest in fantasy as far as Jordan Love's associated pieces. Honestly, it makes maybe Jordan Love becomes a guy you say like more valuable than saying, like, well, I don't know where he's going to come from. I don't know who I'm going to stack him with as far as if I'm trying to stack in dynasty or in redraft. But whenever you have Love, you realize, well, whether it's Kraft out there, whether it's Musgrave, whether it's Jaden Reed, whether it's Doms, whether it's Wicks, whether it's any of the rest of these dudes, right? He'll be able to eat up all of those fantasy points.
Next, you talked to Dan Campbell, and for the second year in a row, you brought up Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
And last year, one of our takeaways was that it was going to be, a bigger year than it was his rookie season, of course, because he was dealing with an injury.
Well, he said last year it feels like you got a bonus first round pick.
Yeah. And it looked like he started to come on as the season got on. But what did he have to say today? Because I missed this one.
Okay, so what he said was that he progressed, and when he was able to come back off suspension, all we asked him was for growth. He just got better and better and just become one of the guys. They wanted him to feel – man, I don't think that Jameson Williams, they ever thought that he felt like he was just one of the dudes on that team. And look,
he's been away from it. He hasn't been in the minutiae.
Yeah, and I know that like a lot of people will be like, well, what does that even mean? But to Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, that's all that it means.
Yes,
that's right. This whole hashtag one pride. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, so the bottom line is the takeaway here is the quote, he's going to push to be a full-time starter.
That's massive.
Well, I think when you hear that in year three for a guy you took it, 12 overall or whatever it was, like you know, that you're basically saying he's pushing to be a full-time starter now. You're talking about a guy that's on the precipice of becoming a big-time bust.
But also, like, you can compare that situation to kind of what we're seeing with Traylon Burks, right? He's in three, and he's, you know, on that custom, talking about him later. But why I'm bringing that up is because you just talked about it, where he's, you know, he hasn't really felt like he's a part of the team per se. Because remember that rookie year, he's coming off the ACL, and he was, you know, off the field working out, which when you're training, when you're doing rehab and stuff, you're not really with the team. And then this year with suspension, you can't be with the team when you're suspended. So this will be, as long as he doesn't get suspended or hurt again, this will be his first full offseason and first full, like, end of the season where he's with the team every day, taking part in every single practice, every single minicamp, every single opportunity to build and grow. And that wide receiver two role, it's right there.
Yeah. So to be an every down starter is what they're saying. That's what he's. They're telling us at least now he feels like he's part of it. It's just so wild to me that a guy like that would get integrated in with the team to start, to where it feels like they're just now saying, all right, now he can start his journey with the Lions. We're talking about a good.
It's so wild in the position the Lions are in.
Yep, for sure. All right, next up.
The Chargers. I talked to the new general manager, Hortiz.
Yeah.
Not Ian Hortiz. Hortiz. There we go. I got it. I asked him with the departure of Austin Eckler, what the running back room looks like with guys like Isaiah Spiller amongst them. And basically what he said was, you know, Austin Eckler finally getting to test for agency, and that's, you know, good on his end. We're going to have conversations with him. But as far as anybody on this roster, it's an opportunity for them to all grow in their role. And he basically just kept on going on. Everybody that's currently on this roster, there's going to be tons of opportunities. And in the back of my head, I didn't want to double take this question because normally you only get time for maybe one, maybe two. And I didn't want to double down into it. But my thought process while he was saying – opportunity. Anybody on the roster is going to get opportunity. You know, you got all this time to make opportunity. Like, I'm thinking to myself, what opportunity do they have to impress you between now and the draft? They don't. They have no opportunity. And realize what they're going to do. They're going to come in. This is a real question for you. What do you think the opportunity is for Isaiah Spiller between now and April 26th to earn the opportunity to be the one? And the reason I say April 26th is because
stay in the building. Just live in it. Because you got to do it. You got to live it. Say, man, like, just say, man.
Ortiz.
Yeah, so, man, Isaiah Spiller, look, he's a dude who I am.
Don't say it. The ship has sailed on Isaiah Spiller.
No, he's a guy that in the leagues where I have him in the deep dynasty. Dude, some of these 14-team dynasty leagues we play in, you got to roster these dudes, right? You would have said, a lot of people would have said that the ship had sailed on, like, Kyron Williams and stuff. Like, some of these guys, that's 100% true, dude. And so some of these dudes, you just kind of have to see. Isaiah Spiller was there during a time playing with players that have turned out to be really good, like Achan, and we have Anaya Smith in this class, and all the, you know, Texas A&M dudes. And Spiller at one point in time was in kind of an alpha in that group. So Spiller, for sure, like – Would you rather have in Dynasty Isaiah Spiller or a fourth round rookie pick? Not me.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
Why? So you get like Dylan Laub or something like this?
You can get a lot of running backs in the
third. Okay. Right. In a fourth round non super flex rookie draft.
Sure. Yeah.
So, but we're trying to gauge value, right? That's kind
sure.
of maybe take a shot on Spiller. Just don't hate it, right?
I don't hate it. You talk about another running, but this guy's a little bit better than Isaiah Spiller.
Isaiah Spears. So, talk to Rand Carthen, the GM for the Titans, about Isaiah Spears. And, you know, who knows with Derrick Henry? They talked about how important Tennessee is to him, how important the Titans are to Derrick Henry, all the rest of it. We don't know what's going to happen. Feels like to me that they're definitely it feels like the time's gotten stale, yeah. Right? But, I mean, new coaches, you know, new things feel like they may need to maybe start a little bit anew with the Will Levis era, and this is not the deep ember era anymore. So with Rand Carthen, he talks a lot about the team being built with the right kinds of players. And he talks about this all the time. And whenever he talks about it, when he talks about Spears, he just said he's a guy that he's very passionate about football. He loves the game. He's a hard worker. I think you guys have gotten to know him. That's how he's wired. That's what I love about him. He's one of those guys that's always in the building. You know, there were a lot of concerns about his knee coming out. And that's the thing about his knee, right? Because Rap Sheet reported in May of last year that it was not only cartilage loss in the one knee. We told you guys about this in the Senior Bowl. He's got a gnarly knee scar. It was the cartilage loss. It was the arthritis. I mean, the fact that he didn't even have an ACL. That was the reporting. And what I remember being his right knee. And so, man, given all those concerns, even with the he's just like
he missed no practices.
He just said there were so many concerns about his knee, but he never missed a practice, never missed a game. There was any of it. You guys saw him. We all saw him. He looked great when he was in there. Looks like a dynamic all-around back. I think, though, the fact that knee was brought up in the question, it goes to show that they still know that stuff. They're still aware of that thing. And this is not going to be something where if Henry moves on, like Tajay Spears is never going to move. No one's going to be a Derrick Henry. Like, no one's going to be the – it's just like this is a new kind of offense. But could Tajay Spears be a dynamic 1A? In that thing for 1 year, I worry about him in Dynasty, just like you've always said that we should, going back to the draft last year. But I think in redraft, man, Tajay Spears, and I don't have the best ball cheat sheet pulled up right now, but I believe he's going, seventh round, something like that.
And it's been going up, too.
Yeah, it could be, just something interesting to watch there. We're big Tajay Spears fans. It's just that, the knee stuff was troublesome.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So I want to remind you guys to please click that like and subscribe button as you're here tapped into Roster Watch on YouTube. We're going to be live today. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. We're going to be here tracking the prospects all the way through the week, talking to the GMs, talking to the coaches, bringing you the boots on the ground content like we do at all of the events throughout the spring, summer, and fall. We're going to keep on getting into it, just trying to go follow everything on social media at Roster Watch.
Like the show. Subscribe to the channel.
Make Byron happy.
Make us all happy.
Some more Falcons content here. Running back content, I should say. I asked Terry Fontenot. I said, Terry, you drafted a running back in the fourth round in Tyler Allgeier. Mm-hmm. Might know him, right? Rushed for 1,000 yards, was running back 26 in fantasy points per game as a rookie, 4 touchdowns, ring a bell. What made you want to draft a running back in the first round this year? And he basically went on to tell me that it's not about the position, it's about the player, it's about their makeup, what they bring to the table, and essentially saying that guys like Bijan, you don't draft because they're good running backs, and they're talented running backs, that's part of it, but when you bring them into a building, they're multipliers, they make everybody around them better, and they're what you want your team to build upon. And I thought that was very interesting because we always hear the conversation, Saquon, that was the Gettleman pick, the fourth overall, and he caught so much flack for that. And you never really heard him talk about it for this. And I'm not saying Saquon's not a multiplier, a team builder, et cetera, et cetera. But, the conversation was had right here of the importance of the pick and why they made it. And now the Falcons have spent 3 consecutive years, top 10 picks, 8-8 and 8-8-6 or 8-8-4, whatever it was, top 10, on the field guys. And I was referring to why?
Yeah.
And he basically just went into it saying it was culture. And compared
I don't think Fon was long for that job, man. But look, I can talk all day about Bijan Robinson. And I'm like, yes, you meet him. You're like, oh, gosh, we want him on the team.
Yeah.
But it's like the guy's got the heart of gold. He's got a smile that'll melt the room. And he's an awesome player. And people close to the team have told us that to expect a much bigger role out of him next year, especially with them not having the advantage of knowing who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, right. So we'll have to see with the quarterback. But with the new coaching staff that's coming in, we've talked about this often about as far as you know, from an offensive coordinator standpoint, what he's been able to see during the, you know, time with the Rams, they generally tend to lean on one running back and give him the work, give him the touches, let him be an all-around guy. So that's kind of the narrative that's percolating around some of the Atlanta people here around Indy, that Bijan should be in for a bigger season regardless of who they get as a signal caller.
The Baltimore Ravens, Eric DaCosta, one of the better interviews every single year, but DaCosta was asked, this is not something I asked, but it was one of the questions brought up. I just asked him the question about, you know, last year you alluded to the importance of finding a wide receiver on the draft. Felt like they did that in Zay Flowers, and talk about how important it is to continue to add to this room. He kind of said, you know, the wide receiver room is something you want to continually add depth to, because these guys are built like race cars, and race cars break down, and these players break down. So I think that's going to be a position to continue to target. He mentioned Odell Beckham. That's a conversation that needs to be had. But in a different question that was asked, how you look at these young guys and how they're growing. And Flowers and Mitchell is exactly how he asked it. His response to what do you think about the growth of these young guys in Flowers and Mitchell was, I'm most excited about the growth of Rashad Bateman.
Oh, yeah.
And Bateman's going to have an expanded role this year. Bateman's going to get more opportunities. I want to see
him. Do you buy it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He came out. It was like, oh, like, it was like the question was like, Mitchell and Flowers, what do you think? And he's like, Bateman. Like, it was like, what?
Right. No, it felt like a complete like non sequitur. It's just like he just came out. You weren't adding that to him.
No, nobody asked
him. But he associates Bateman as one of the young players on the team that he's expecting.
Which is a good thing.
So yeah, I think that's cool. The other thing I just wanted to mention about the Ravens is that while this wasn't said, every context clue that you could possibly get from the body language and from the things that were said and the things that weren't said is that J.K. Dobbins doesn't seem to be a part of the picture.
They brought it up a few times.
I mean, it just doesn't – to me, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, did you hear anything to where they said
– They just said – they. The one thing I did hear from – I can't think it was Harbaugh was he's like, yeah, we're looking – we love Keaton. We're looking for Gus to get back healthy. And then, you know, J.K. is floating out there as well.
Yeah.
And then you have
DaCosta saying that Justice Hill was like the secret weapon of the team this year, right? Talking about how he was one of the like this magical creature that the team like. So who knows? It doesn't feel like Jake.
Feel like he's gonna be back.
Yeah, and do you know what, man? He could be one of these guys. You go pick up cheap. Like I'm obviously going and
do you think
the price set checks on J.K. Dobbins.
Do you think there's a couple of years left, or do you think he's potentially in line for like a Lev Bell, Todd Gurley type of just kind of like a disappearance? Because he's dealing with an
Achilles. I think the price is cheap enough right now. He's been good.
Yeah. Go out there and get it. One of my favorite notes today was actually from Sean Payton, who very, 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 very long-winded. I think he might answer 6 questions in 15 minutes. But I asked him, I said, how do you explain the utilization of Marvin Mims, who was your first pick?
And I love the way that Cody phrased that. Cody was demanding that Sean Payton explain himself.
Explain your utilization. Everybody on Twitter was absolutely pissed at the utilization of Marvin Mims, because the first pick Sean Payton ever spent, a wide receiver, and it was horrible. And I said, how do you compare him to Brandon Cooks, Kenny Stills, which were his first 2 wide receiver picks back-to-back years for the Broncos? And he basically said, you know, without that comparison, we really loved what Mims brought to the table as a returner. And I quote, I really think the only thing that really stopped his progress as a receiver was us and trying to find new roles. But every time we gave him an opportunity, he made the most of it. So we're looking forward to expanding that role this year.
The only thing that stopped him was
him. He said, Russ.
No, I don't know. It's like the whole Marvin Mims thing. I I feel like with that, you know, that's a kind of once bitten, twice shy thing for me. They're definitely in the, as far as reject, I think a dynasty is still a fine hole. And these are all really good. These are all really good signs that, like Sean Payton saying, that, yeah, man, that's a kind of like we messed that up. Yeah. But as far as anything, like I was telling Cody today, it was just really cemented with me today. I don't know why it hadn't become like completely cemented before, but it's an absolute like lock, and it's a truth that there's no reconciling anything with Russell Wilson and with this them working with this team. I mean, they're talking about him like he's in the past tense, and the media is asking about what can you do, asking George Payton, what can you do to trade up to get to number one? And George Payton's like, look, we don't have the draft cap to get from 12 to one. You know, obviously that means that he's done. No, he's done his price check,
which is good. So,
well, you should.
Not a big Payton fan myself, but
just like you guys in Dynasty, man, you should be constantly doing price checks on guys, just kind of seeing. And that's your job as a GM. You sit there all day. You got to pull up other GMs. You got to figure out how they value and how they value picks. And so they've obviously looked into that. Speaking of that, as far as that first pick, as far as you want to talk about. So I saw the Bears, but the Buccaneers room.
The Bucs is a small one. I just asked how you analyzed the wide receiver room and the growth of Trey Palmer this year. The dog, Trey Palmer, the number of wounds, dog last year. He said, obviously, Trey's very fast. But I think a big thing he said, he learned multiple positions for us, which obviously as a rookie is tough, as he mentions. But as you guys know, learning those positions as a rookie, is, we talk about special teams and the importance of being able to be good at special teams as a rookie to get on the field. If you can pick up multiple positions, especially when you're in a room with Godwin and Evans and things alike, that's a good way to get on the field. Because opportunities will open up. Evans might miss a couple plays, Godwin might miss a couple games, whatever it may be. And he said that was big for Palmer. He brought up Rakeem Jarrett from Maryland, who's a pretty good slot receiver. So
part of that three pack from last year. There's three Maryland guys.
So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So, you know, if you are, you know, I don't know if there's any Rakeem Jarrett troopers out there, but I know he's free in Dynasty if you're in those deep leagues. Have at it. He did mention it. Mike Evans leaves or departs. Trey Palmer moves up, as does Mr. Rakeem Jarrett. The other one in that offense was Sean Tucker. I asked about what can you expect in that role. He said it was, you know, similar to Jameson Williams coming in as a rookie. That rookie season, he missed most of the training camp because of injury. Sean Tucker had his heart ailment that came up at the combine last year. And he basically just talked about Sean Tucker has the size. He has the talent. He has the speed. He has everything we want in a running back. But he just hasn't been a full offseason. So he's looking forward to seeing him a full offseason. And basically what he said in quotes is, I'd say we're hopeful for that role to expand. So that was kind of interesting. Sean Tucker, I don't know if you had any comments on that. Otherwise, we can move on.
No, to the Bears, man. I love this one. And you were the one that asked it. Like, man, there were so many people around Eberflus. And I think that the reason why is just because so much talk revolves around that first overall pick.
Let's just one second here. How annoying did you notice this today? For me, it was super annoying because I'm going to go up there and I want to actually find something out. And it felt like a lot of these coaches were asked and GMs, how do you address the quarterback? How do you evaluate quarterback? What's quarterback? What about your quarterback?
Much talking about DS2.
Everything's
DS2 tests.
God,
David Mulgaez, guys, and athletes first not taking them. It's like these people ask bad questions and just wait till the prospects tomorrow, Cody. The stuff from the guy with the Pittsburgh Towel podcast.com is walking up to every single prospect and busting in saying, have you met with the Steelers? They'll be like, yeah, I met with them at the Senior Bowl, but I don't have an official with them here. And it's just every single prospect they're going to go around doing it. So
have you met with the Houston Texans?
I've
How about Dallas?
Haven't met with anyone. Haven't met with any.
Roschon Johnson. I asked Matt Eberflus, have you seen enough out of Roschon Johnson last year to kind of depend on him as a lead back going forward? And he bursted out kind of like Jim Harbaugh did, John Harbaugh did, about Rashad Bateman. And he goes, yeah, I love Roschon. And he was just saying basically he's done a great job. We'll see how he develops. He had a good rookie year. And I've always said that, you know, from the first year to the second year.
From year one to year two. That's the big one.
That's the big one. And so he's got a full offseason. Like, you hear this a lot out of these rookies. And they go, You know, our rookie season just rolls right into combine training, rolls right into minicamp, rolls right into the season. You don't get an offseason to grow or learn. And this is now Roshan's opportunity. No Deion performing. Herbert is still there.
Yeah.
But the writing feels like it's on the wall. There's an opportunity for
Roshan. And it's a fan favorite because you tweet that stuff out. And every Chicago fan is just, you know, retweeting it. They're engaging. They're all big fans, man. They want it to be Roshan season. We want it to be Roshan season.
You can go to Schneider. You can go to Schneider.
Okay, so John Schneider, man, I asked what the best touch split is between Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet. And if you could kind of tell me as the GM, the dude you drafted these two guys, right?
Well,
how you see their styles and their play styles, you know, interacting with it. Like what is that interplay like? How does that work out on the football field? Right? And he just said that, he said, well, that's going to be up to Coach Grubb. What's his name? Ryan Grubb. So that was Kalen DeBoer's offensive coordinator in Washington.
Correct.
And, dude, I mean, we saw with Dylan, Dylan Johnson got a bunch. Like, he would feature one, you know.
He would block Dylan Johnson.
He would rush. He would feature that guy. Sure. Dylan Johnson, by the way. Man, I need to show you some of the All-22s from Washington. Like, some of the All-22 stuff on him. That I just got that I haven't shared with you yet. Like some, like it's one of these. It's one of these ones where it's like, man, you know, he's a little bit more impressive on the All-22 stuff. But all that aside, Schneider's like, man, he wouldn't even answer. He just said that they have four guys that they really love.
Yeah,
and so we know that there's Ken Walker. We know the Charbonnet. We know the Kenny McIntosh from Georgia, the rookie last year at the senior bowl. And then, like, because DJ Dallas is set to be a free agent, they also have –
Fulmer was in Chicago.
It's
Brian Kobach.
Brian Kobach, who they signed to a futures deal right after the season. And I don't know if that's the fourth game. But, look.
That's the fourth game.
But here's the takeaway in the point. If we're still talking about these four guys, though, if we're still talking about, like, four dudes mixing in, I don't care if it's just one dude mixing in for four touches and one dude mixing in for two touches. It's too much. And it's gonna make both of those guys, at the cost of their point right now in early basketball, not be worth it. With as awesome as Ken Walker is and with as much as we think that Zach Charbonnet has such a great, well-rounded skill set, those guys come – I want them to say, do they come from each other like peanut butter and jelly? We can't wait to get those two guys going. Get them both healthy and, like, let's see what we got. It's why we have day two draft capital on these guys, you know? So, instead of talking about, was Kenny McIntosh even drafted, or was he seventh round?
Kenny McIntosh was a seventh round pick, remember?
Yeah.
The running back, running back coach was super excited about that one. Sure, Peter and Jerry make me a little hungry here. But
that's good.
We'll finish out here with another couple of running backs and stuff like that. But please remember to click that like button, click subscribe. We're going to finish up some of our notes here for the NFL Combine day one. We'll move back tomorrow night, as well as Thursday and Friday night, as we recap.
Maddie Keywood from Player Profile joining us. Starting
Player Profile Nation. Maddie Keywood joining you here.
So we had Tom Telesco jump ship from the Chargers, get fired from the Chargers, and then get the job with the Raiders in division. And I asked him, how do you analyze the roster of the running back position, and do you visualize Zamir White as a potential lead back in the league? And he basically said, from what I see, he's a very good player, but like many teams in the league, this is something we heard a bunch last year. It's the only player, only GM that said this year, was he has the size, he has the speed, but like every team, we don't want to have just one guy. We want to have two. We want to have three guys. So the thought that Zamir White is going to come in and be Josh Jacobs, I mean, he's already there, but come in and just be Josh Jacobs, I would say is nil. The opportunity for Josh Jacobs to come back.
It's like Telesco.
I don't think Jacobs is going to be back.
But here's the thing. It's like if it's Zamir White and other guys who are bad, the same way that, say, Josh Kelly and Larry Roundtree and these dudes that Telesco drafted from the Senior Bowl to try and compliment Austin Ekeler. You know what I mean? It's like you end up stabbing your dude. It's like maybe Telesco will draft that again, and then, you know, they'll just have to play Zamir.
I guess. I guess to that point, I don't trust him to draft the right player, but maybe he brings in a Zeke or something along those lines. I don't want to talk about that one. Dan Morgan.
Oh, dude, let's end it with the Chuba talk and with the Devin Singletary.
All right, so Dan Morgan, I took Dan Morgan, who's now the general manager for the Panthers. I asked him the same question. Do you view Chuba Hubbard as the lead back going forward? And I phrased this question exactly like I did because, quite frankly, I forgot Miles Sanders existed. I think as did most fantasy people.
He's down bad.
And Dan Morgan said, yeah, as of now, he's the lead back going forward. You know, him along with Miles Sanders, you know, I think he's a really good back. But basically saying Chuba's the lead back going forward. And they do have these two guys here. And again, Miles has a contract. I think they have Spencer Brown under contract, under retention, who's a guy from like UAB who's adequate and does special teams things. I think also Raheem Blackshear, another special teams guy. So I don't see them adding anybody really this offseason unless they cut ties,
unless they're lying.
Yeah, unless they're completely lying. Yeah. Right now, as it seems,
I can see him lying, man.
100%. But yeah, but the thing is,
especially with what Dave Canales was saying today about you got to run the football. I don't care. I'm not going to negotiate. This isn't how you do it. You got to win this NFC South. You got to run this football. You got to do it. I'm not going to negotiate about it. I don't care. It's a non-negotiable. You have to be able to run the football. So if that's the case, and we have Chuba Hubbard, because look, Miles Sanders at this point, I was telling Cody, he's the worst back in the league besides Tank Bigsby, which Cody took exception to. But if it is Chuba and he dodges all the bullets like Neo in the Matrix that I was talking about, Canales is going to run. He's going to run. Speaking of running, we'll just stop it here with D'Amico Ryans. Dude, this guy loves Devin Singletary. You asked about Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary, and his face just lit up. And he said, we were so pleased with Devin. I just wanted to look, are you interested in bringing him back? He looked like a new guy, right? He looked like a new guy with the Texans. And he said, we'll see what happens in free agency. We would love to have him back just because what he brought to our team, he was definitely a real the bright spot for us in our running back room, which might say something about Damian Pierce. But I do think in situations like this, if it is like Devin Singletary is going to go out on the free agent market based on what he's done for his entire career and command some kind of huge, some huge deal where they have to go back and forth. And stuff. I don't think the Texans are interested in kind of doing that over Devin Singletary, right? But I think they give him a fair, good market deal and say, look, we want you back. We want you back. And don't you want to come back to be in the Slovic Stroud office that was the one that rejuvenated your career? And then we'll see what happens. You know, you break some incentives, you use some stuff, and restructure. We do some stuff like that. I think it is in everybody's best interest, fantasy owners and managers included, for Devin Singletary to get back to Houston.